Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Can we lock in Branham saying he doesn't want to hit Jacob Wilson in the butt? Just made the list. No, I don't. I want it in the rib cage. I don't want him to have some cushion there. I want him to feel it. Feel it. Like he tried to make Luis Guillermo feel him rounding third into a Bush League obstruction call. Bush League did not like that at all. It made me sour on Jacob Wilson. I'm no longer a Jacob Wilson fan, and I do carry grudges.
He dances in the batter's box, too.
Hitless yesterday.
Yeah, it is crazy, though, that a guy that's been hitting the ball so well does not really get his back foot set until the ball is actually coming. He's dancing all over the place in that box.
He's one of the weirdest hitters in baseball.
Pretty good, though.
He's the son of Jack Wilson, if you remember him.
Oh, the Tigers, I think, Jack Wilson?
I think he played on a bunch of teams. Yeah, a defensive-minded shortstop, yeah. Didn't hit much, didn't hit a lick. Huh. Yeah, it's his son. All right, so let's listen to Todd Kallas, a little side-by-side. What's her name, Jenny Kavanaugh?
Kavnar.
Cav, do not care. She is the TV voice of the Sacramento A's. Some make fun of her. We might. We'll see. But a little side-by-side of a true pro, Todd Kallas, and Jenny Kavnar. Wait to hear this. Here was Jenny's call on Luis Guillorme's amazing catch yesterday.
Soderstrom to left field. It's shallow. Guillermo.
Whoa, what a catch by the third baseman for Houston.
There you go. It'd be great to call.
Three?
It wasn't too bad. I mean, well, for Jenny's standards, it wasn't bad. But like a 3.2.
It sounds
like what I'll go with it.
It sounds like a kid on the playground is calling it.
She sounds like she's confused by everything.
But it's so high pitched too, and it gets higher.
That's fair. I think she sounds like she's confused by everything, and then she'll just throw in like catchphrases randomly. Here's Todd Kallas' call of the Luis Guillermo catch.
That one a looper. Can Guillorme get back there? Still going. What a play by Luis Guillorme. Unbelievable acrobatic catch in shallow left field. He went tumbling and hit the ground hard. And Mauricio Dubon just watched one of the better plays of the season defensively.
Great call. 10. I give it a 10.
Pros
a 10.
Pro. Pros pro right there. That is a really good call.
Jenny or TK?
TK in the landslide.
Going TK there. Now, the next call is, I mean, it's the Kurtz home run. So, like, you know, Sacramento's play-by-play guy has some, you know, vested positive energy here, whereas TK is probably going to be a little bit down. But first, we'll hear good old Jenny. Call.
Like her voice blends with the crowd. It's so hot.
Yeah. I mean, that time, that's kind of like the random catchphrase. Walk, like she said, walks it off funny too. Walk off. Like, what did she say? Play it again. She says, like, walk off fashion. Really weird to me. There you go. Ends it walk off fashion. I don't think I've ever heard anybody put it that way. Ends it walk-off fashion. That one, like, what grade the call?
Verbiage was better. Yeah. I think that there wasn't a lot of, like, spaces and gaps where she was, you know, mincing words. It's just the voice is tough for me. I'll give it a...
You don't like hearing a woman call baseball?
No, it has nothing to do with that. But, like, you have to
add
work...
it to the list.
Like, any kind of broadcaster has to project, and they have to project, and we all know that you have to project in a way that is different than your speaking voice. Her voice is so high already, and then with excitement it gets higher, and I think it blends with the crowd. I'll give it a 5 for the fact that the call itself was okay.
Yeah, I give this one like a 6-8. I actually thought this call was pretty good. Like, I thought this call was good. Like, she's excited in the moment. She did say ends it walk-off fashion, like, in a weird way. But like,
is it just me, or is it the phrasing it as he crushed that baseball was also weird?
She says stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, every time I hear a home run call like that, it's just he crushed it. They never throw in the extra
she
part
says
of
baseball
that baseball.
A lot. She says that baseball a lot. There's a dude I follow on TikTok. I don't know his name. He's hilarious. But, like, he'll just have, like, normal TV guys, TV ladies that call, like, you know, exciting plays in baseball. And he does it for multiple sports, but mostly baseball. And he'll just he doesn't say anything. He just lets the voice do the thing, but then he'll, like, act it out on the TikTok. It's hilarious. And his Jenny Kavanaugh, like, mannerisms are top notch. Really? Highly encouraged. I don't know his name, though, so terrible wreck on my
encouraged
part. But if
you following
see it,
the guy that, yeah,
he does, like, the weirdest mannerisms that just makes her calls hilarious. If I find it, I'll make sure to make a note of it. Here's Todd Kalas's the visiting viewpoint of that walk-off home run yesterday.
Abreu back in. That's not coming back. Nick Kurtz just walked off this one. 3-1 final. Way up on the berm. Kurtz with his 7th home run of the season.
There you go. I mean, just true pro. I mean, he's not excited, obviously. Yeah. He's not going to be in the moment. Like, he's not going to be happy. But, I mean, in terms of, like, calling a good visiting TV call, I mean, that's a 10. It's a 10
clear,
from Todd Kalas.
Concise. Tells you exactly what happened, and he doesn't have the emotion because it sucks because he represents the team that just got beat.
Yeah. All right, here are a couple more from Jenny cannot stand her voice. here is the Jose Altuve error, by the way.
Here's a ground ball from Lawrence Butler. Altuve will boot it. Butler has to charge up, and he's on.
Charge up? What? Like, this is, like, sometimes she's confused by charge up.
Did she also say a little booty?
I think she said a little boot. I've never heard of a base runner that needs to charge up.
Yeah, and just kind of the enunciation, too, of just booted, booty.
Here's a ground ball from Lawrence Butler. Altuve will boot it. Butler has to charge up, and he's on.
Booted. Charge up. I think she said we'll boot it. But
booted?
I think I think she said boot it. But they were very close together. There wasn't
still
the
doesn't make
there.
Sense.
I think
said,
no,
said,
she'll
think
he'll
she
boot,
a
it. Boot it. He'll like, boot it. It. He'll boot it.
Oh, I
he'll
hear
boot
the heel.
It. Play it again. Play it again.
Here's a ground ball from Lawrence Butler. Altuve will boot it. Butler has to charge.
No, she said we'll boot
on.
It, but she didn't say it like very good. She said I think that she said Jose Altuve will boot it. But I think she was trying to say boot it, but she didn't really finish the word.
It sounded like little booty.
I
that's what
didn't
it
hear
well,
that,
she's not
but
wrong.
I did hear booted.
It was Altuve. He does have
factual,
a little booty.
Yes, Crowder booted, and it's not going to be a play.
It's not bad.
Hey!
She said that he has to charge up.
He's charge up.
He's
that's
busting
right,
it down the
up.
Line. He has to charge up.
Here's
this is what
grounder,
I mean.
Booted, charge it up.
Sometimes she just seems a little confused about what's happening. There was another play where it was. This one wasn't like really worth pulling, but it was like a routine ground ball to second, and she said fair ball, like
in the middle of the diamond.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Like it was it was a little bit in the hole. Like it was a little bit to like the second baseman's left side as opposed to up the middle. But I mean, easily a fair ball. Like no doubt about it. If the second baseman's fielding it and she was like, fair ball. What? Of course it's fair. Second baseman has it.
Do we know she called a different sport before this?
I don't know.
She calls it like someone who doesn't know baseball terminology or.
I don't know her background. I mean,
just to see that, because she calls it the way of someone that doesn't seem to know the sport.
Men's and women's college basketball on FS1.
There you go.
Yeah.
Is that it?
I mean, great for her. No, we got one more.
I'm talking about, like, other sports.
It says basketball, men's and women's basketball. Her Wikipedia page, she's the first female primary play-by-play, blah, blah, blah. She also does play-by-play for men's and women's college basketball on FS1 in the Pac-12 network.
She was the assistant coach on the UCLA lacrosse team.
She's married to Steve Spurgeon.
Why do I know that name?
Used to play baseball for the White Sox.
Who the f*** is that guy?
It's messed up, man. She won the Colorado Sportscaster of the Year Award by the NSMA. Has won 5 Emmy Awards. Became the first woman to provide color commentary for a National League Baseball game on the radio for KOA on July 15th. What is that? Is that Rockies? She filled in as play-by-play announcer for two Rocky games, first woman to do so since 1993.
KO is.
And then men's and women's basketball for Pac-12 and Fox Sports. This has nothing to do with her being a woman. It has everything to do with her being bad at her job.
But as you describe her background, it's all other things other than calling stuff her.
Well, I mean, she did some Rocky stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. She just doesn't come off in a way, like, I mean, especially that fair ball thing. There's no one who has followed the sport forever that would call a ball where it was, where that ball was, if, you know, fair ball is a part of the call.
Oh, she named her oldest son Vincent after Vince Scully. More you know. One final one from Jenny Kavnar. This is the J.J. Blade dinger.
J.J.
Jenny Kavnar.
What did she say leading into the JJ Blade part?
It's not a cheap one.
To be fair to her, she was talking about something else prior. Uh-huh. She was talking about a previous play being like a cheapie, like a cheap hit or cheap whatever. I don't know what it was. But she was talking about a previous play, and she was like, that was a cheap hit, and then, you know, pop at the bat. Right. That's not a cheap one. So
she was able to roll it
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that one when she kind of rolled with what
I
she was talking about.
That was her
about.
Best call.
That one was solid.
Of the group that we played, that was the best one.
Yeah.
Here's a homer deep into the bullpen. Mom and Dad said I get a snow cone.
I can't wait to find that dude on TikTok. The dude on TikTok is so funny when he's doing the impressions of Jenny Kavnar. Texture, this is ruining my drive home. My bad. We'll get off of it. But we'll do it again tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of Jenny Kavnar because they play the Astros a lot, and this is a four-game series. I think y'all owe her an apology. You're right. My bad. We're very sorry. Deeply sorry, Jenny Kavnar. If you can hear our apology, I want you to know we really mean it. We're really sincere with how sorry we are that we're having fun with your sports call. Is Martha Quinn MTV VJ? I don't know who that is.
Oh my God, it's a great call. It's a very accurate voice comparison.
Martha Quinn. I don't recognize her at all.
Oh, she was one of the original VJs on MTV.
Like back with who was Carmelo's wife?
Oh, Lala. Before Lala.
Downtown Julie Brown.
Mark Goodman, Martha Quinn, JJ Jackson, and then there was one other, Nina Blackwood. They were the original four.
Is she better or worse than the Monday Night Football sideline guy who got fired after one game? Here he is, and he's having the best time of his life. Was that the Spanish guy?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that call.
I don't remember that guy either. I think they were using a bunch of different people, though.
On national TV?
Yeah, and it might have even been like that doubleheader.
I was
going to
say it's probably the doubleheader.
Yeah, I don't think that was a full-time guy. I think he was kind of like, hey, here's your shot, and he wasn't very good. Texture, that was horrible. The A's announcer sounds like Susie Colbert. Thanks, Joe. That's not Susie Colbert.
Susie's got a deeper voice.
He's thinking Susie Waldman.
Susan Waldman from the Yanks.
Yes.
And then
he's
who's the other one?
Susie Waldman. Thanks, Joe.
Who's the
Rogers and George's box?
Who's the woman that does college football and Beth Mowins?
Beth Mowins is another one. Lisa Byington is another
Lisa
one.
Lisa Byington does the Bucks, right? And she does some that TNT. But Beth Mowins has a deeper voice too.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she does. Yeah, you're thinking Susie Waldman, though, who worked for years with why am I blanking on
Rogers in the box?
Rogers and George's box. Yeah. Can you believe, of all the crazy things I've ever seen in my life, this is the craziest of them all. Rogers and George's box. That's a terrible accent. Do a Jenny Kavnar, your impression of Jenny Kavnar on Nick Kurtz home run last night.
Okay. There it is. It's got a chance to put this one to bed after midnight. Gone. All righty.
I think you went Susie Waldman there.
I didn't have the New York accent.
I think it was more Susie Waldman than Jenny Kavnar. Texture says that Jacob Berger is the TikTok guy with the announcer calls. That guy is my favorite TikTok follower. Jacob Berger is elite if you have TikTok. I mean, second to Jeremy J. Branham on TikTok.
This is like the guy that does
the
batting stances.
He's so funny. I'll show you some during the break. No, he doesn't do batting stances.
I'm saying, but that guy is also funny that does his batting stances.
I haven't seen that guy on TikTok.
Oh, he's
is that
really
his
good.
Real name, or did he just steal it from
Jacob
Berger?
I think it's his real name. I don't know for sure. But no, this guy, I'll show you some during the break. I can't explain it to you. The visual is what makes it so good. And we're in the medium of audio, and I cannot do it justice. If you have TikTok, first follow me at Jeremy J. Branham, and then follow him at Jacob Berger, and you're going to be glad that you did. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Today, on a Durant of our lives, what is new with the Kevin Durant saga? That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
McGrath Pest Control kills pests so you don't have to. Right now, their vigilance is directed at termites and mosquitoes. It's termite swarming season. These little fellows can cause big problems. Let McGrath bring their wrath to would-be termites around your home, especially if you're buying or selling a home. And when it comes to mosquitoes, their mosquito murdering system keeps your outdoor living space skeeter-free. It's completely safe for you, but not for mosquitoes. Rest in peace. Keep your home pest-free. Get started. McGrathPestControl.com. Tell them you heard it right here.
Want a new way to explore Houston with your spouse? Power On e-bikes has helped hundreds of couples fall in love with riding again. Our expert team will fit both of you for the perfect bikes. No self-assembly, no guesswork, and with our new white glove delivery service, we'll even bring your bike straight to your door, fully assembled and ready to ride. Visit PowerOnEbikes.com today and start your new adventure together. That's PowerOnEbikes.com. Power On e-bikes. Ride together, smile forever.
John Granato here with Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. Robin, it's time. People, you have got to move now. If you want your patio furniture back at a certain time, you need to do it now.
Yes, because it is a standard 4 to 5 week turnaround time, but if you need it expedited, we can do that for you as well.
And pickup in the Houston area is absolutely free.
If you're in the Woodlands to Galveston, Baytown to Fulshear, we have you covered.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Call Robin, 281-676-3888 or HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
Are you looking for the cheapest prices on car insurance? Then call the Cheap Car Insurance Hotline right now. Hey, you're guaranteed to save money on your car insurance. Most car insurances can be canceled at any time. That means if you find a better deal, you can switch right away. We're not just one company. We offer most of the major brands of car insurance. We're like a discount supermarket for car insurance. And it doesn't matter if you have a good record or a bad driving record. Our agents are experts at finding you the right car insurance for your needs. Our average customer saves hundreds of dollars a year when they call us to switch. So why don't you make this 100% free call right now and see how much you can save on your car insurance.
800-871-9417. 800-871-9417. 800-871-9417. That's 800-871-9417.
Hey, you got better things to do than think about your electricity bill, but how do you avoid the surprise of a high bill at the end of the month? Here's what I do. I rely on the guys over at Champion Energy. With their low-price, fixed-rate plans, there's never any surprises. Plus, the team at Champion sends me weekly usage reports with my projected bill amount. Again, no surprises. They also remind me when my contract is about to expire so I can lock in on low prices. Visit champion.energy to view a variety of fixed rate offers. That's champion.energy. Promo code 1560. Promo code 1560.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD. 97.9 HD2. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You know, I don't think I've ever actually listened to this theme song of Days of Our Life. Lives. There's more than one life on that show. This is awful.
Like sounds through the hour.
Is that what they say? You've watched the show?
Oh, my God. In college, like, the football team would go into the group areas and they would confiscate use of all the big screens to watch that.
What was going on in Wisconsin lacrosse?
Days of Our Lives was a thing for a lot of people on campus.
That team very weird. Win much?
Yeah.
They actually did. They won national championships. They were really good.
I give up.
Which is why you don't try to get the TV back. But Days of Our Lives was a thing.
That's crazy.
A lot of hot chicks during that time too on Days of Our Lives.
Is that why the football team was watching Days of Our Lives?
Fridays were the all the mystery was solved for the week.
Oh, really?
Big day. Friday was the big day.
I'm not sure I've ever watched a. I don't even know what they're called. What are they called?
Soap opera.
Soap opera. Yeah. I've never watched a soap opera.
Not a single one not ever?
I watched Melrose Place. My mom would force me to watch it when I was like six. But that's it. Is that a soap opera? Probably not. It was primetime television.
It's a
it was prime soapy.
Time soap opera.
Yeah, it was a soap. Yeah.
I thought Yellowstone was kind of soapy.
I never...
Cool rebuttal.
No, I mean,
I'm on an island here with
Yellowstone. But I would say that 90210 and Melrose Place and Desperate Housewives, those are probably primetime soap
operas. No, Desperate Housewives is reality TV. That's not fake at all.
Well, that's 100% Desperate Housewives, real. Not Real Housewives.
Oh, okay. My
Desperate
bad.
Housewives was yeah. Ava Longoria
that's right.
And all of those neighbors
yeah,
in
my
your
bad.
Cul-de-sac.
My bad. I forgot about that one. Yeah. Yeah, I felt Yellowstone was soapy because, like, some of the scenarios they found themselves in were kind of ridiculous. Like the grandson has a 16-foot rattlesnake one at one show. The next week he's jumping into a river and is about to die. Like some of the scenarios they put themselves in were very soapy, very hard to believe. That's why I dock Yellowstone a bit.
Well, you want to have the episode where he just stays at home and reads?
No, but
I mean, you got to put yourself in crazy situations.
You don't need to be soapy like that. Like I disagree completely. Like these are so unbelievable soapy things that turn me off of Yellowstone a bit. I ding Yellowstone for their soapy nature, for sure, for sure. Like sometimes it didn't really sync up with the story. A lot of times it was like we need to add a little bit of drama here. Let's make up this random scene that makes no sense and it's very unbelievable.
I mean, isn't that essentially what they do on a lot of these reality TV shows?
No, I feel like they
too,
tie it in, though. I feel like they tie it in good. Like The Wire, you go look at The Wire, like, yeah, they had some, like, really hard-to-believe scenes, but they were all tied in. They were woven in nicely. Breaking Bad's premise is kind of stupid, right? Like, a chemistry teacher needs to make money, and he goes to start making drugs. Like, that's a weird fantasy land premise, but it's all woven together nicely.
Except for the Fly episode.
What's the Fly episode again?
It was like season 3 or 4. There was one episode literally where Walter and Jesse spend the entire time in the lab, and the entire episode is Walter trying to kill Fly.
I remember now. Yeah. I think that was like some symbolism on his mental state.
It might have been, but it missed for me.
Fair enough. All right, today on Durant of Our Lives. Here's the silver lining that I have with a Durant of Our Lives. When was the last time, and look, we can disagree on what we think of Kevin Durant, we can, you know, do we want him, do we not want him, how much do you want him, what price do you want to pay on Kevin, all that stuff aside for a moment, mm-hmm. When was the last time a star as bright as Kevin Durant had your team on his preferred list? That's the silver lining to me, is that you have a superstar in the NBA, we can argue how bright is that star in the twilight of his career, but you have a mega star in the NBA that is cool with being a Houston Rocket. That's the first time we can say that since, like, Barkley and Pippen.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one that comes to mind as one where everybody got completely their feelings hurt was when they were putting the billboards up around town, everything for LeBron, and LeBron was like, yeah, I don't want to play in Houston.
I mean, there hasn't been a star that was like, yeah, I want to play with Houston. Dwight Howard did it, but after the Rockets swung and missed three times.
CP3.
Late in his career.
CP3 did it, but he was...
I guess Harden's, the counter is that Durant's late in his career, too. Yeah, and he was also like, I don't want to say that he was on his last leg.
Yeah, he wasn't quite over the hill yet, but he was definitely advanced.
But he probably wasn't even as advanced as Durant. Maybe Chris Paul's the last time that you've had a star that's like cool with the idea. But you have a star right now that is putting together a list of teams saying no to other playoff teams. Kevin Durant, if we believe reports, is saying no to Minnesota, who have went to the Western Conference Finals in each of the last two seasons.
Crazy.
And he's saying, yeah, I would want to play for Houston. So for the first time in a while, for the first few times in the last long time, you have a star in the NBA that is cool with being a Houston Rocket. And I think that's a good testament to where this franchise is currently.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, having lived through a lot of the disappointment internally when you found out guys that you sought after or targeted as a guy you wanted to bring to Houston, I know Daryl was crushed on the LeBron thing. Like, you know, they went out of their way, even when they were chasing Carmelo the first time. And, you know, they're renting big mansions in River Oaks and having food catered in to make sure that Melo wants to choose and likes the lifestyle in Houston. And he says, nah, I think I'm good. I'm going to go somewhere else. And it literally fueled Daryl to the point where he was so obsessed with it, he went and got him after his prime when he sucked just because he had to have Carmelo Anthony. But, yeah, there was a lot of times when you got left on the doorstep going, I don't like Houston. And it is nice to finally be back in that kind of realm of interested interesting team and city for a sought-after player.
I think it shows you that the Rockets, like, are back. Are back. Like, they're not back as, like, a contender, per se, but they're back of being a team that's well-respected in the NBA. And it's not that far removed whenever you had Kevin Porter Jr.,
right.
Steven Silas. Like, it, to me, it's a really good benchmark of where the organization
is. Well, and how quickly you got there, too.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the first thing when you were saying all this that kind of stuck in my head was, normally with a rebuild, I don't think Houston really realizes how lucky they are that this rebuild has turned around this fast, this quickly. Because a lot of times it can take up to a decade. I mean, you're still trying to find a true superstar, and yet you were the second seed in the West. The kind of things that they've been able to do in a short period of time just don't happen this way normally within the NBA or in professional sports. So it is a feather in the cap that the organization is back on the map as a prominent team.
Yeah. The latest, I don't want to phrase this, the latest happenings in the Durant of our lives. He doesn't want to play in Minnesota, according to reports. He prefers San Antonio, Houston, Miami, specifically San Antonio. The Suns disappointed with the offers. Hope he reconsiders Minnesota. Unlikely to accept Miami's offer. Not Durant, but Phoenix. Unlikely to accept Miami's offer. In the latest odds that I found, as recently as this morning,
okay.
Miami plus 250, Rockets plus 250, Spurs plus 350, Wolves plus 350, Toronto plus 500. Now, Toronto has moved in the last 24 hours from plus 1,200 to plus 500. So that's some serious movement in the betting odds. But the Houston Rockets, as of this morning, and the Miami Heat are the co-favorites to land Kevin Durant.
Yeah, look, I think it's interesting in the fact that Minnesota seems to be the offer that the Suns like the most because it allows ownership and the new general manager to do what they're trying to do, which is to stay relevant by getting a couple of players that are good pieces to add to Bradley Beal and Devin Booker to have a chance to compete in the West and be at least compete for a playoff team. I think everybody else is basically giving you what you need to rebuild a franchise. They're not giving you players that the owner truly seems to want in terms of staying relevant now. And it's so tough to do both, which I think ideally the general manager would like to do. So that's why Minnesota is probably someone that is a team that they want Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman to maybe reconsider. But evidently, like you said, Kevin Durant isn't focused on the team that gives me the best chance to win immediately next year because they've been to the last two Western Conference Finals. So basically, he's going to go where there's no state income tax. He's got a team similarly put together in Minnesota, like Minnesota's team, except you don't have that true superstar yet, but you got enough pieces you can work with.
The other thing, too, is I think Minnesota's best offer is contingent on Kevin Durant signing a contract extension. I think that's why Phoenix is like, I hope he reconsiders Minnesota, because Minnesota's not going to give you the same offer.
No, they're not giving
up. If Kevin Durant's not signing the 2-year extension that has been reported,
they're not going to give up to DiVincenzo and Rudy Gobert and picks for a rental.
No.
They're going to give that up if they realize, hey, not only do we have a really good legit chance of going back to the Western Conference Finals, but with another go-to guy to take pressure off of Ant, we have a chance to actually go further, and veteran players are still going to want to come there to join that on the minimum.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I get the feel that it's winding down. Like, I feel like we're going to see, and they reported, too, that the NBA draft is the deadline for the Suns because they want draft capital this year. I mean, I'm guessing, but I feel like something happens this week.
Well, I think it's closer than that. I think the last report before we went on the air said that basically that they've solidified two offers, and there's just one stumbling block with each team, with Miami and Houston. And so if that's true, it might be a lot sooner than the draft, but when you get answers.
Yeah, I feel like that report, though, is putting pressure on Houston and Miami to throw in some sweeteners.
I think from an agent standpoint or a team standpoint, you're trying to use every resource you can to try and see what you can squeeze out of the deal. But that's why if I'm the Rockets, I stand firm on the fact that you're not getting both Jabari and Jalen. I've made my offer for now that looks like my best and final. But you know damn well that if at any time you do have to sweeten the pot, if you truly are just hell-bent on getting Kevin Durant, you could still add something to it later, but I would kind of call Phoenix's hand right now because I don't think that they're in a position of strength like they think they are.
No, they're not. Durant has him over a barrel. He's going to take. He's going to go to one of three teams that are willing to give him a 2-year extension that he's willing to sign. Those three teams are like, okay, we're going to lowball you because we know that he has you over a barrel. And then if you whiff on Kevin Durant, oh well, he's in his late 30s. He only has a few more years left, anyways.
But I've also seen the report that said that there's a chance the Suns just don't make a trade and keep Kevin Durant. I think that ship has sailed. I think you're too far gone now to turn back and say, hey KD, let's bygones be bygones. Let's have you come back for another season and run it back. No, I just don't think it's going
to
happen.
They're trying to regain leverage. They're trying to regain some leverage, then they have no leverage. The Kevin Durant will not be a Phoenix Sun next year.
No,
won't be a Phoenix Sun once the NBA draft begins. Like that's leverage. That's a leverage play.
I think Kevin Durant's gone by the end of the week.
Maybe. I think so, too. 713-780-ESPN. Durant, one, should I go to San Antonio and have unlimited churros and big old women? Or two, go to Houston near that dirty water in Galveston? I mean, it's a bit of a trek to get out there to the dirty water in Galveston. You could just go to the downtown aquarium like we're going to be on Friday and hang out with us. Downtown aquarium, summer circuit continues. Join ESPN Houston every week as we visit different restaurants all over the greater Houston area. Each week, you can register to win our grand prize of the summer, a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value. For registration, all you have to do is stop by the promo table at the broadcast. This week, we'll be hanging out, enjoying some food and drinks at the Downtown Aquarium. Come out, join us this Friday from noon to 6 at the Downtown Aquarium. Find the entire summer circuit at ESPN975.com. So what is off limits for you in a Kevin Durant trade? 713-780-3776. Killer Beast, ESPN975, ESPN925.
You're listening to ESPN97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
We're going to draw one name of a person that sold their car to GiveMeTheVin.com and give them $25,000.
Wow.
Give Me The Vin is giving away $25,000 in cash every month.
Could you imagine being that person? Wouldn't that feel great?
That would be awesome.
Well, honey, you won.
Oh, my God.
Heather Krager of Dallas, Texas won $25,000 in Give Me The Vin's big cash giveaway.
That's so cool.
You could be next to get a little more, maybe a lot more.
I guess that old Mercedes was worth more than I thought.
No purchase necessary. For official rules, go to GiveMeTheVin.com.
Are you over 50 and constantly feeling tired, bloated, or just a little off? Don't ignore it. Those could be signs that your liver is crying for help. As we age, our liver, which is essential for metabolism, digestion, immunity, and detoxification, needs extra support and protection. If neglected, it can leave you feeling sluggish and constantly off your game. That's where Active Liver from New Nordic comes in. Available in easy-to-take tablets or delicious gummies, Active Liver combines powerful natural ingredients like turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract to help support healthy liver function. With Active Liver, you're giving your body an essential daily defense against toxins from alcohol, fatty foods, and sweets, helping you reclaim your energy, improve digestion, lose the bloat, and strengthen your immunity so you can look and feel your best again. Protect your liver and give it the support that it deserves by making Active Liver from New Nordic part of your daily wellness routine. Find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS, Meijer Grocery, or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
Sell your house in the most simplest way. GreenlightOffer.com.
Hey parents, Jeremy Branham here. Want to transform your driveway into a pro-level court? Pro Dunk basketball goals are the real deal. Their revolutionary lightning adjust system lets you change heights in seconds, from regulation 10 feet down to 5 feet so the whole family can play. Built with commercial-grade materials that stand up to Houston weather, get your kids off those screens and onto the court. ProDunk, the choice of serious ballers. Visit ProDunk.com today. That's ProDunk.com.
Houston is Soccer City USA and World Cup 2026 is coming our way. Join me, Glenn Davis, every Tuesday and Wednesday, 6 Central Time for Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Presented by the Daspit Law Firm.
Lance Zierlein here for Allstate Windows and Siding. If you're looking to give your home a facelift, forget about painting or staining. Buy siding from Allstate Windows and Siding. Allstate Windows and Siding has a huge selection of colors, and their product is energy efficient and impact resistant from wind and weather. Call today at 832-204-1936 and ask about their $2,500 off complete siding jobs. It's their spring special. Visit AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. Discounts available for senior citizens, military, and first responders as well. AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
Let's hydrate. Grab a Rambler Sparkling Water, the official sparkling water of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A Texas mineral blend available in original lemon, lime, grapefruit, satsuma, blackberry, and now wild cherry. Get rambling, Houston. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Come on, Branham, you mean to tell me Stephen A. Smith can't be an actual mafia bodyguard in General Hospital? I did see the clips of that.
He was a bodyguard?
He, like, the clip that I saw, I didn't know what role he was, but he walked into a patient's room, and the patient, like, pulled the gun on him, and then Stephen A., like, whipped it out faster and shot her dead. I think it was her. Yeah. Stephen A., the actor.
Maybe not the most believable.
Yeah. I mean, it's soap opera for you, though. Soapy. Are we talking about Kevin Durant? Yes, we are. LOL, maybe 10 years ago. I think you're being just a little disrespectful. Kevin Durant would instantly, if you just plucked Kevin Durant and just put him on this Houston Rockets roster today, he is immediately your best scorer. Mm-hmm. Immediately, mm-hmm. I don't know if he's immediately your best shooter.
He's close to
your best shooter. And he's your closer. He's your go-to guy. He's your best offensive weapon by far.
Yep. No, there's, I don't know how you can even question that when I was harping on it all during the season. They just don't close. They don't have a guy that can go get you a bucket when you need one. Regardless of what his age is, he proved last year from deep threes to just putting the ball on the floor to shooting over smaller people, he can get you that bucket.
Keith, if I can't take the NBA seriously. Luka getting traded behind closed doors to the Lakers and then Dallas winning the lottery. What a coincidence. Yeah.
It is kind of crazy that Mikal Bridges goes for 5 ones and a pick swap. And Bane goes for 4 first-round picks and a swap. And Luka went for one first-round pick, but Anthony Davis was in the deal.
I mean, let's not ignore Anthony Davis.
No, Anthony Davis, but again, he's going to be free pretty soon, too. And you would think that they weren't in a rebuilding situation. Nico is trying to win it. But you would think that even trying to win it, you could – like, the Lakers ended up keeping one of the two first. They thought they were going to have to throw in any deal to get any kind of improvement. You would have thought that that was a no-brainer. You get at least two.
I mean, Anthony Davis is a top, 25 basketball player in the NBA. How far would you be willing to go on AD? Top what basketball player?
I mean, based on the all-NBA teams, he's definitely probably in the top 20.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, if you knew you were getting Cooper Flagg, they did. Wouldn't you want Anthony Davis next to Cooper Flagg?
Sure, but yeah. You also were expecting when you made the deal, you were going to have Kyrie Irving as your point guard.
No KD unless you give them Jalen Green and two of their draft picks back. See, I think that the clues are adding up that the Rockets are going to be the team that gets them. Like, we mentioned the betting favorites. Them and Miami are currently tied. You mentioned to me during the break that Shams has reported that the Spurs are out.
Yeah, Spurs are now out, concentrating more on, like, Trey Murphy III and Donny Avia that can help them on the wing.
So if we believe that, we believe that Minnesota's not going to happen. I think that there's something to this Royal Ivy thing, too. Like, the Spurs were trying to poach Royal Ivy from the Rockets to join the Spurs. Why is that relevant? Royal Ivy and Kevin Durant are tight, super
tight. They
played
together, right?
Kevin Durant is Royal Ivy's. They did. Not at Texas, though. They played with each other in Brooklyn. Royal Ivy, which, by the way, Ime Udoka was an assistant on that team.
He was.
Royal Ivy's son, his godfather is Kevin Durant.
Ooh.
So I think that a big reason why the Spurs were trying to poach Royal Ivy was because, okay, this is a way to get Kevin Durant, everybody's one happy family. And then we saw yesterday, Ben DeBose from Rockets Wire was reporting that Royal Ivy, despite teams trying to poach him, is going to stay with the Houston Rockets. Like, to me, the dominoes are starting to fall for Kevin Durant to be a Houston Rocket.
That's why if I'm the Rockets, I don't overpay. That's why I feel like I can sit there for a little bit and let the waters kind of calm down and then see if you can realistically make a deal that makes more sense than having to give up the farm. Because I just think right now, whether they, you know, the listener said, give up two firsts and Jalen, it's not that simple. They're wanting more right now. They're wanting one of either Cam or Reed. They're wanting Jalen. They really want Jabari Smith, and the Rockets are saying no. But then they're also wanting a minimum of 2 first-round picks. That's a whole hell of a lot for a 35-year-old guy.
And I want $1 billion. Like, what you want isn't anywhere close to the truth a lot of times.
Yeah, I get that. But at the same time, this is multiple people that are supposedly in the know reporting that Phoenix has pushed the price tag way too high. That's why if I'm the Rockets, like, I stand firm right now and say, look, I can adjust later on and give you my best and final, but I'm not doing this right off the top and just throwing the farm at you for a guy that's 35.
I don't think they are, though, because if they did, a trade would have been done.
It depends. Like, there's guys that they really want. Like, they want, was it the Ware kid from Miami?
Uh-huh.
That they really want in any deal? And I'm hearing that even more, that they're willing to take Jalen, but they're trying to move Jalen along to another team because he'd play the same position as Booker, but they really want Jabari.
I'm just very leery of reports. Very, very leery of reports. Like, what is out there is because they want you to know that. So I'm very leery to, like, oh, they want this, they want that, they want, like, how do I know that's true?
Again, you have to trust the people that are saying
how
that they have the
I?
Sources.
They've lied to me for my whole life.
I understand that the teams and agents are using media members as pawns as well, but it does seem to be pretty consistent that Phoenix probably shot for the moon, which rightfully they should,
they
until teams
the
shoot them down. And then from there, you kind of adjust.
That was good. That was a good one.
1.2.
That was a good one.
That was terrible.
Oh,
but he liked it.
That's joke of the week. That was joke of the week material.
Should we have that segment?
We probably should. Joke of the week every Friday. I think that's there. I think it's at the top of the list.
Joke of the day. The joke of the day.
They shot for the stars and landed in the Suns because they're Phoenix Suns.
No, I get it.
No, but I think that if the Rockets blew them away and gave them their demands, a trade would have already been done. Like, why hasn't a trade been made? Because Phoenix hasn't gotten something that they're blown away by. To me, it's that simple. And, like, all the reports are, okay, an agent's putting something out there. A team is putting – the Suns are putting something out there. The Rockets are putting something out there. The Spurs are probably putting it out to Shams. Okay, like, this was our best and final offer. Phoenix didn't accept it, so we're out of the race. We're dropping out, which does what to Phoenix? It reduces their leverage. So, like, it's all one giant game. Like, I don't know what's true. I have no idea what's true.
No, I mean, I'm just, like I said, I'm going by the people that are credible, that have sources, but I also firmly understand that between agents and teams, they can try and manipulate the system by putting information out there. Like, when I think about what the Rockets could possibly give up, am I thinking that the Rockets are a better team if they're able to keep Jalen and they move Jabari and Brooks or Fred and other, and then, you know, more picks and maybe a young player? Or am I thinking that if you move Jalen and you keep Jabari and then you give up picks and a young player, are the Rockets better? Which team of the Rockets is better? I would tend to believe that if you keep Jalen Green, that for next season, your team is better with Jalen Green and Kevin Durant as opposed to Jabari Smith and Kevin Durant.
Jalen's a better player than Jabari, but I think Jabari's a better fit than Jalen with Durant.
I still think Durant needs to, from time to time, to play off of someone, and also that someone that can get buckets. And I think that that's more, especially with the regular season that Jalen had.
I mean, you got Alpi. You have Alpi. I mean, Amin, I think, is going to develop in his third year. Like, I'm not arguing that Jabari's better than Jalen. I think Jabari's a better fit with Durant than Jalen, because Jalen and Durant are both ball heavy. And, like, Jalen's not a great shooter, so, like, him being off the ball is kind of irrelevant.
But Jalen's a high-volume shooter, which is going to be a problem when you start thinking about how much Kevin Durant's probably going to want to shoot it.
Yeah, that's my point.
But I the counter to that is also Kevin Durant needs help around him. Jabari's not the guy that's giving him any kind of offensive help.
Well, I think he spaces the floor for him, though. And then, again, you have Alpi. Like, Alpi, I think Alpi's a better half-court scorer than Jalen.
I think that where it's a better fit is the fact that in a half-court game that you can go inside-outside with Durant and you can push it down into Alpi and he can still get the ball back for open shots, because defenses are going to have to collapse on Alpi.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that works. But I would just think that overall, from a regular season perspective at least, I think they're a better team with Jalen than Jabari.
Yeah. I think Jabari's a better fit. I don't think that you're making this trade without Jalen. Like, I get a very difficult time imagining this trade without Jalen. I have no problem getting rid of Jalen, actually. What I would be sour about, and I don't care about the 10th pick, I'm not even, like, hanging. Like, I like Jabari. I think he'd be a good fit with Durant, obviously. I'm not even, like I need to keep Jabari. Like, Jabari was coming off the bench last year. Now, was that right? Was that wrong? Different conversation. The thing that I don't want to lose in this trade is Phoenix's 2027 first-round pick. I have more desire to keep my hands on that than I do Jalen, then I do Jabari, then I do Reed, then I do the 10th pick of this draft.
Yeah, I just – the thing that worries me about that is that they're still hell-bent on trying to be competitive. If they were going to, like, completely break it down to the studs as much as they can, they would do what they can't do. They refuse to move Booker, though you can move him, and teams would really be interested in him. you have a no trade with Bradley Beal, so you can't move on from him. And those two guys on the same team, again, granted they got to stay healthy, but those guys are at least potent enough to give you offense that if you add a couple pieces here and there, that that team can be competitive. 10, I don't care about at all for this year.
No, I don't either. No.
Yeah, I don't care about 10 at all.
Well, Jalen or the Suns 27 first? What would you rather keep? And look, I understand the salaries are like a factor in this and that all matters. But let's eliminate that because you can figure that out in the back end. You can figure that out in plus production. Would you rather have Jalen, if you're trading for Durant, would you rather have Jalen Green still in, you know, your club control, or would you rather have the 27 Phoenix pick?
If I'm trading for Durant and it's a 2-year window, I would rather have Jalen not be in the deal because I can still move Jalen to get pieces that will come in ready to help me win this year.
Veteran pieces?
Yes. I could still, if I make the Durant move and still have Jalen, I believe that there's a marketplace for him that would give me some veterans that could add to the what you need to be highly competitive in the next 2 years.
Yeah, that's a fair point. If it's strictly the trade, I'd rather keep the Suns 27 pick. That I value that more than Jalen, and I value that more than Jabari.
Now, is it fair to say that in that scenario, both that you'd be acquiring, whether it be the 27 first round pick or keeping Jalen Green, I think both are still going to be trade pieces before the season starts. I think you could use
for
the 20
Phoenix?
For anybody. Like I'm saying, after the KD deal is done, right?
Okay.
Whether you keep Jalen or you keep the 27 first round pick, I think between the time that the KD deal is consummated and the start of the season, I think whatever you keep in that scenario, either side, is still going to be moved before the start of the season.
See, you might be right. The issue that I would have with that, I don't want to go all in the next few years. I want Kevin Durant to be more of a mercenary than build the entire organization around Kevin Durant. So I hesitate to trade my youth to facilitate Kevin Durant because you traded for Kevin Durant. I want to keep this growing team together for the most part and throw Kevin Durant into the mix for 3 years because he's gonna sign the 2-year extension. So he's gonna be here next year, then 2 years after that, more than likely. I don't want to sell the farm and mortgage the future for 3 years of Kevin Durant. I want to add Kevin Durant to what I already have. Yes, I have to trade some pieces away from that, but I don't want it to derail this long-term Rockets future that we think that they have.
I hear you, and I don't think you have to because I think especially with the Jalen, you already know what Jalen is.
But that's why I wouldn't trade. That's why I wouldn't trade Jalen or Jabari for veterans.
But Jalen, you already know who he is. And there's definitely, for the most polite way to put this is, there's questions about if he's already reached his ceiling or close to it, or can he be a superstar. So I think that you can move him, still keep a majority of the nucleus you're talking about keeping together, and you could add pieces that kind of can do both things. They can blend with the young guys you got if you do care to keep them longer term. But for the short term, they make you a much better team to have a chance to win and go deeper in the playoffs. To me, the 27 pick, it has value to other teams because if you're trying to add another young piece, you already have so many young pieces and you have teams that are like positions where you have repetitive young pieces where at a certain point you have a surplus you have to get rid of anyway.
Yeah.
And I think the 27 pick staying with the Rockets, by the time that pick develops, I don't know what else of that nucleus you're going to have together.
Yeah, that's fair. I just think it sustains it longer. Like, it gives you an additional piece whenever those contracts are going to start, like, coming down the pike, and you're going to have to pay people, and you're going to have to make tough decisions on people, and you're going to have to reduce the surplus. I think it could really help you. It's going to be fascinating times, though. Keith from L.A., I have a feeling if you guys trade Jalen Green for Kevin Durant, it's going to come back and bite the Rockets in the butt. All right, Keith from L.A., we'll see how that plays out. If the Rockets don't get KD, no big loss. They can run it back and have more experience under their belt from last season's success. The potential is there. I think we all feel that way, and that's why we don't feel the need to get desperate on Kevin Durant.
Right. Exactly, because I think that you run that team back with the team that you could potentially put together and bring back. That team is good enough to be a top four team in the West again. And then you're not like precluded from doing something else. Like, okay, you move on from Kevin Durant, but maybe there's someone else out there, whether it's a Cam Johnson or whether it is another superstar type player that's on the market. Or you can wait till closer to the trade deadline and say, hey, we still need shooting. We still need a rebounder. We can pick up those type players without having to break up your nucleus, and you become an even better team.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I think we're all on the same page. It's just a matter of when the trade happens, are we going to be okay with the return for Kevin Durant? Should should the trade for Kevin Durant happen. Rockets need to wait it out, says a texter. Suns will get desperate and take less. Kind of what I feel is happening, especially if teams are like dropping out and left and right. And Durant's also playing a little poker here. Okay, I'm not going to this team. I'm not going to that team. Is Jalen Green in the package for the Durant trade, or is there a way to keep Jalen and pair him with Durant? I've seen a couple of scenarios where they could keep Jalen. Most scenarios include Jalen, though.
If you keep Jalen, Brooks has to be involved, yep, or potentially Fred.
Like the one that I saw without Jalen, going off the dome here, might miss a piece or two. Number 10 pick this year, the 27 pick for Phoenix. Jabari, Reed, Cam, Dylan Brooks. Mm-hmm. Is the one I saw without Jalen, which I think I'd rather just trade Jalen.
Yeah, that's a lot to me. Because whether you believe in Reed or you believe in Cam, that one of them is going to really kind of exceed expectations or live up to their billing. Those are two guys that giving up both of them, I would question doing. And the fact that the other pieces that you're giving up kind of help make this team who it was a year ago, and there's too many of those going away.
Yeah, I'd rather just trade Jalen. Like, Jalen's the best perimeter scorer on this team. When you're trading for Kevin Durant, you're trading for your new best perimeter scorer on this team. I'd rather keep the other pieces than Jalen. Basically, it's would you rather have Jalen or would you rather have Reed, Cam, Jabari? I'd rather have Reed, Cam, Jabari than Jalen Green.
And I think, again, it's twofold. I think for the team, even starting as soon as next year, those three guys all can have they can make good, significant contributions.
Yep.
I think from the standpoint of what teams want Reed Sheppard. Teams want Cam. They want the players in that, those three players in the deal, probably more so in most cases than Jalen Green.
No, not interested in Durant, not in the least bit, says a texter. A bunch of people are texting, and I saw this tweet yesterday, this take. Is getting Durant like getting Verlander in 2017? I think so. No, I don't think it's alike. And the reason that I don't think it's alike is more, it has more to do with what you traded than it has to do with your potential. One, I don't think Durant's going to give you a title like Verlander did twice. But also, you didn't trade much for Verlander.
Right.
Like the price, and I know it's like not an apples-to-apples comparison because it's a cross-sport reference, but the price that it would take to acquire Durant is going to be far greater than the price that it took to acquire Verlander.
Yeah, that's just the way the market is right now and where they are with their contracts and everything else. At Verlander, I mean, the guys who gave up never even amounted to much. You're talking about guys that have already, in certain cases, have established the fact that they are legit NBA players with a high ceiling, and you're also getting significant draft capital, whereas you were getting guys that, yes, they were drafted highly for you, but, I mean, you look back in the retrospect and go, yeah, they didn't turn out to much, but even what you were giving up wasn't hurting your current major league team. Like, this trade with Durant is hurting the depth and the rotation of your Rockets that were the two seed.
Is Kevin Durant's burner account going to come into the trade? I hope so. That'd be great theater. Run it back. Just play Reed Sheppard more. Israel hates that take. Just say no. Durant will need to have to come here on the cheap to win a championship. I mean, if he gets traded to Minnesota, he'll be a free agent next year. Why is the city so out on Jalen Green? Probably the playoffs and hasn't quite lived up to potential.
Yeah, I would say the fact that we've seen now over multiple years that he is more so of who he is and who he's going to be as opposed to a guy that has a high ceiling that continues to get better and better, where people thought that where he was drafted and with some of the hype coming in that he was going to be a franchise player.
Is it fair to say he hasn't lived up to potential? Like, he's been pretty good.
But again, like you mentioned it, I mean, you're pretty good, but your number one most critiqued performance is going to be in the playoffs. And
sure,
when you disappear in the playoffs and the way he disappeared is going to be something that sticks with you until you can. It's a James Harden, but more so than even that, that James Harden was also a great regular season player that crapped out in the playoffs. Jalen's kind of following that same mold. He had a really good regular season, but he disappeared and he was scared in the playoffs.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him like a bust or anything, though.
No,
like,
he's not a bust because he's averaging what he averaged in the regular season.
Yeah, like Reed Sheppard was the third pick. Jalen Green was the second pick. I bet you Jalen Green has a better career. James Wiseman was the number two pick the year before Jalen Green was the number two pick. Like, that's a bust. Yeah. Jalen's not a bust. It's more, can you go where you're trying to go with Jalen Green? All right, let's get to cash him or trash him. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, Drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.